all right? And it's amazing how similar bodybuilding in the physical way is the same as the spiritual aspect of building ourselves up. And we're going to have some fun this morning. We're going to talk about the similarities and the things that we need to know in order to build the body of Christ. You know, it's not about a pastor and a worship leader leading everybody every week. It's about us together, united, using our giftings so that everyone can grow together. Amen? And so this morning, I'm hoping that what we're going to talk about is going to help this church not just understand what we're supposed to do, but instead apply who God made you to be to the body of Christ so that we can all grow together. It's extremely important for us to understand this concept of body building. Now, for me, I've always been pretty active in my life. I grew up playing baseball. Some of you guys, maybe you grew up playing a sport. You were active. And then into high school, I was working out with, you know, in gym class and all these things. And then when I hit college, I started working out really hard so I could meet my wife. And then once I got her, didn't work out anymore. You guys know, it's like I accomplished this, right? I got the woman. She's way better looking than I am, so it's okay. We can stop now. And as we had our children, something started happening to me. Now, I've always been thin, right? But what happens to me is I become looking like a sickly deer. Instead of getting big, I get really tiny, and I'm like this shriveled up person. And I remember after Judah, our second baby, came, my wife and I ate a lot of cookies, okay? I'm not talking about every weekend. I'm talking like every night. We were like consuming like a dozen cookies apiece, okay? We were like, we need this. I don't know why. You know how it is when your wife's pregnant. You have to be a part of that, right? Right. Because you tell yourself that you're going to lose it afterwards, right? She loses like 10 pounds instantly, but it stays on you. So I noticed that this area of my stomach began to grow and everything else started shrinking. And I was like, okay, I need to do something here. So I looked up P90X. How many of you guys have done or looked up or tried P90X? Okay. It's difficult. Let's just say that. The first week, you feel like you're literally in hell and Satan's laughing at you as you're like jumping and flailing and you hurt yourself more than you really help yourself because you're like trying to lift up the bar, you know, like kind of, it's sad, okay? It's sad. But here's the deal. I stuck with it. So I did the 3 months of P90X. And after that, I was like, wow, this really worked. I began to grow in the places you're supposed to grow, and I began to shrink in the places you're supposed to shrink. And so it worked really well. And from that point on, over the last 2 years, I've pretty much gone to the gym, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, and I work out, and it's a lot of fun. I've learned some things through that. And when Pastor said, hey, I want to do a sermon series on bodybuilding, I was like, well, the cool thing about, as I said earlier, the physical body is it pertains so much to the spiritual body. And we can take some concepts and some ideas through working out and apply them spiritually to the body. Because yes, we need to work on our physical body, but in so many more ways, we need to work on our spiritual bodies. We need to understand that it may not be easy, it may be very difficult, but God has a plan and a purpose for you so that you can begin to build people up around you. Because how many of you know this? If you just come to service every week and you sit in your seat and you raise your hands during worship and you listen to the sermon and you go, oh, amen, that was great, and then you leave, you're not going to get a whole lot out of this, right? But if you're here and you are every day saying, okay, God, what is it today that you want to do through me to impact someone's life, you will see a great change happen in you and through you for the kingdom of God. And that is my hope for all of us, that we will understand that we as the body can build up everyone in Christ, that we can understand our spiritual giftings that God has given us so that we can do that. How many of you wish you used spiritual giftings more? All right, I do for sure, right? I want to know how to use the giftings that God has given me so that I can build up the body. So this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at these spiritual giftings. The first point I want to make this morning is this, that we need to know our equipment. Know your equipment. So when I first started working out, what was the thing I had to do? I had to learn what equipment was in the gym so that I could work on those parts of my body, right? If I needed to work out my legs, I needed to find the squat machine. You know, you could go into the gym and you can find equipment. You're like, I have no idea what this is used for. You know, you're like doing these weird things. It's like throwing you everywhere. And you're like, I don't think this is right. You know, like it could go real bad real quick. First thing you need to learn is, okay, this is a squat machine. I know how to do this. Okay, this is a bench press. These are free weights. I can do this. I can work the parts of my body that I'm supposed to work. Well, in the same way, a lot of us, we come into church and we know there's equipment in there. But we don't really know what it is. We don't really know how to use it. And most of us, we probably don't even know that that equipment is even there. So this morning, what I want to do is we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12 and we're going to learn first the equipment. All right? In verse 1, it says this. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul is about to talk to the Corinthian church about spiritual giftings. Now, these are giftings that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, gives each and every one of us so that we can edify and grow the body. So let's read about what they are, starting in verse 8. It says this. It says, to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice or wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Some of you maybe have heard discerning spirits. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, and while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Now, specifically, what Paul is talking about here is in a public setting, okay? And we need to understand that, because a lot of people will say, okay, so he says, you know, we each get like one gifting to use. Is that so I don't really have the gift of speaking in tongues because I interpret or I prophesy, so I don't do that. No, what Paul is saying is this. Look, when you come together in a setting, the Holy Spirit is going to give each of us specific gifts to be used in that public setting. Now, we know through reading through Acts and other places that the gift of speaking in tongues is available to everyone. We even know that Paul says, hey, I want you to desire the gift. So he's not saying, hey, each of you just have one. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, hey, here's the gifts. And what he wants them to understand is the Holy Spirit gives each of us gifts, right? He's the only one. We don't get to use the giftings just because we're cool enough. It's not about having a magic show that we get to walk up to people and be like, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, you're all healed. We're Oprah, okay? That's not what the Holy Spirit is about. He's about us saying, hey, God, what is it that you want me to do today to impact someone's life? Is it a message of wisdom? Is it a message of prophecy? Is it knowledge? Do they need to be healed, God? What is it that I need to do so that I can impact someone else's life? I want to real quick talk through each one of these giftings just so we know our equipment. Is that cool? Okay. So wisdom. And these are all quotes that I've gotten from Pentecostal teachers, theologians. And just to give us a good understanding, it says, a word of wisdom is given to meet the need of some particular occasion or problem. It is not dependent on human ability or natural wisdom, but is a revelation of divine counsel. Through this gift, supernatural insight into both the need and into God's word bring the practical application of that word to need or problem. So if you give wisdom, what you're doing is you're praying and God is speaking to you like, hey, this person needs this word over them. And you begin to speak wisdom into their life over a need. You help them figure out situations. Maybe you've seen this before. Someone's like, hey, I have this business issue that's going on, or I have this life issue that's going on. And you're able to speak to them. Have you ever done that? And you're just like, I don't even know where that came from. But that was really good advice, you know? And I believe that that's that spiritual gift of wisdom. Next one is knowledge. And what Dr. Barry Chance says, is an utterance enabled by the Holy Spirit that supernaturally reveals facts that would otherwise remain unknown. Some people think it's a little different. It goes back and forth. But basically, word of knowledge is being able to say, hey, this is what I believe God is saying you're going through, and it reveals those facts. I've been able to do that over students' lives and talk to them about things that I believe they're going through, and they're like, yeah, you're right on. And that could be the gift of knowledge. Next one, faith. That one's pretty self-explanatory, right? God gives you great faith that you're able to walk through any situation and be like, no, it's good. We're good to go. Next one, healing. The special ability that God gives us to certain members of the body of Christ serve as human intermediaries through whom it pleases God to cure illness and restore health apart from the use of natural means. Now, miracles. How many of you want to do some miracles? I want to do a miracle. You know, that's pretty cool. I want to literally, like, I've done this. I'm weird. But, like, a storm will be coming in. I'm like, in the name of Jesus, no. No, no. It's like I have the force or something. It doesn't work. Okay. But, like, miracles. This is the ability that God gives us to go against the laws of nature. It's supernatural power to counteract earthly and evil forces. It's pretty cool. That's one of the giftings. Another one is prophecy. This is divinely inspired and anointed utterance. It is entirely supernatural. A supernatural utterance in a known tongue. So, unlike speaking in tongues, a prophetic word is speaking something over someone, over the future, over what they're going to be going through, saying, hey, this is where I feel like God is speaking you should do. This is what I feel God is speaking needs to happen. I've been able to do that in the students' lives and in people's lives. God has at times given me the ability to prophesy, and it's really cool to see that happen. I like what one pastor, Paul Burley, says. He says, prophecy is not a telling off, but a drawing forward. Some people are like, I don't want someone to prophesy over me because then they're going to tell me things that I don't want to know. or hey, I don't want them to know my whole life, so yeah, no, don't speak over me. You know what I mean? But here's the deal. If we do it right, what it is it's drawing people into the will and the plan that God has for them. Don't you want that? I want that. Next one is discerning of spirits. The gift of discerning spirits is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to know with assurance whether certain behaviors supported or purported to be of God in reality are divine, human, or satanic. So it's like, I don't think that's what we should be doing right now. I don't think this is a good idea. You know, my mom, I feel like she's had this many times when I wanted to go over to a friend's house, and she's like, I don't think, some of you moms, amen, amen. You're like, I don't think that person's good for you in your life. It's like my mom didn't even know them. In the back of my mind, I know that person's not good for me in my life. But she spoke that, I'm like, dang it, stop discerning spirits, mom. Next one is to speak in tongues. Now, speaking in tongues, there's two different types of this, all right? This is a private prayer language we see in Scripture. Paul says, hey, I speak in tongues more than any of you. All right, so we know that this is a prayer language in private, but he also talks about a public speaking in tongues, okay? And this is to receive and communicate an immediate message from God to his people through a divinely anointed utterance in a language they have never learned, okay? And then the next one would be the interpretation. Now, in a public setting, what it says is that the interpretation should always come if there is a speaking in tongues in a public setting. It says interpretation of tongues is a supernatural verbalization and subsequent interpretation to reveal the meaning of a diverse tongue. This gift operates out of the mind of the Spirit rather than out of the mind of man. So here's all the equipment. Just going through them real quick one more time. We have wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation. How many of you, you don't even have to answer this, but how many of you have actually done one of these? How many of you guys have experienced this in your life? And how many of you guys are asking God which one of these he wants you to use in any time? Are we asking God, what is it that through the giftings of the Holy Spirit, I can do to pour into someone's life today? Do we ask? Do we seek that? Or do we come to service, we enjoy service, and we go home, and never once did we ask? Now, I'm guilty of this, church. I'm speaking to the choir. I'm guilty of this. I come to church, and I enjoy it and everything. And even when I'm praying with people, sometimes I just pray. But I never ask God, what is it today that I could speak into their life? And it's crazy. What I've noticed for myself is that every time I begin to ask God, he reveals something to me. Sometimes it's a prophetic word, and I've done that. Sometimes it's a word of knowledge. Sometimes it's the gift of healing that I've gotten to pray over people and see tons of people get healed. It's such a cool thing when you begin to ask and God begins to use. Did you know, I believe this, God wants you to flow in the supernatural giftings far more than you want to, right? Don't you think, like we look back in Acts and we see the disciples and the apostles all the time praying for people to be healed, speaking prophetic words, having faith, walking in knowledge, discerning of spirits. We see all those giftings used all the time. And yet in churches today, we don't see it. Why? Because the people aren't asking. You haven't received because you haven't asked, right? So many of us think that all of a sudden we have to go through this hypnotic spell, and all of a sudden it's like, ooh, I got a prophetic word, and it's weird and it's strange. But it's not weird. It's not strange. God isn't weird, right? God is love. If God is love, then that means he's not weird, okay? God wants to speak to you in your situation in a way that it's going to draw you towards him, not away from him, okay? And so if we as his people understand that, we should say, okay, God wants to use me today to speak something into someone's life, whether it be prophetic, knowledge, healing, discerning of spirits, tongues, whatever it is, God wants me to speak that into their life for the edification of their life to draw them closer to Jesus. And that's what it's about. You go in some churches and you're just like, this is weird, I don't get it. And maybe some of you guys have gone into that and you're like, oh, I like that. Some of you guys are like, that freaks me out. But all I can tell you is this, God wants to use you in a way that's you. Not in a way that's someone else, okay? In a way that's you. God isn't gonna take your mind and all of a sudden make you do something that you don't want to do. Amen? He's going to use you in your way. I always think it's weird when someone's like just a normal person, and then they go up and they start praying for someone. They're like, ah! You know, and they start screaming at them and start yelling at them. And you're like, okay, if you're weird, be weird. That's okay. I'm weird. But don't be someone you're not, right? God wants to use you like you in yourself. Now, all of us manifest differently. I'm not saying that one person has to do it one way or another. Be listening to God. Say, God, what is it today that you want me to do? What is it today that you want to speak to me, God? So we need to know the equipment. In verse 7, it says this, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Like I said, it's not about us. It's not about me getting to pray for people to be healed. It's not about you getting to speak a prophetic word over someone because you're that cool. It's about us just saying, God, I realize it's you. It's totally up to you. Whatever you want, God, that's what I want to do. Church, wouldn't it be amazing if every week we came together, every one of us was asking God that question? Can you imagine what would happen? We'd have people up here in the altars, and you guys would be asking, okay, God, what is it? And maybe one of you would have a prophetic word for someone. Someone would have a word of knowledge. Someone would say, man, they just need healing in their life. And they begin to come up and pray for one another, and we begin to pour into one another. Talk about edification. But what happens is we think the pastors are the only ones that can get these things. And so we're just waiting, okay, well, hopefully pastor will pray for them to heal them. No, you pray. Well, hopefully pastor has a word. No, do you have a word, right? We all together, united and equally live in Christ, in the body, so that we can edify one another. It's up to all of us. The reason we don't see it happen is because we're not asking. So the second thing today is this. You've got to use the correct form. Okay, when you go to work out, you can know your equipment, but if anyone who has worked out before knows, if you don't use that equipment right, you're going to hurt yourself. Okay? I remember doing P90X. This was probably about the second and a half month. I was almost finished with it, and I was doing pull-ups. Well, my door frame was too small, and I was using one of those that you hook into your door. You ever seen those? And I'm doing it, and I'm like, I'm going at it, and all of a sudden I hear pop. And I was like, ah! My arm right here, this ligament separated right here, or at least like tore in a not good way. And my bicep just went whoosh, and I felt it. And I started to do another one, and it was like, oh, nope. Like this arm was going, this one was not. And I was like, this isn't good. And what I found out is because the door frame was too small, I was putting all the weight and pressure right on here. And what happened is I hurt myself. If you see some people doing squats in the gym, it's like, oh, because they're like going forward, and you're like, you're going to smash your face on the ground, okay? This isn't good. You see the way people work out, and they're benching, their backs are all up here, and their like spine is about to snap in half, and you're like, that's not good, right? If you do the right form with the right weight, you are going to see greater results than if you try to do too much weight with the wrong form. Okay, that's just the way it is. In the same way, if we as Christians use the equipment God has given us incorrectly, it's only going to hurt the body instead of building the body up. I cannot tell you the amount of times that people around me are more freaked out by God because people aren't doing it in the right way. Maybe you've experienced that. Now, I'm not calling anybody out. I'm not trying to say the way you're doing something is wrong. That's completely between you and God. But what I'm saying is this. Be asking God, how can I show, or how can I do this gifting in the right form? Paul tells us what the right form is. In 1 Corinthians 12:31, it says this. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. All right, or the best way of all. 1 Corinthians 13 goes into this. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have what? Love. I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. It's amazing to me how God sets this all up, because he recognizes the human condition, and that is that we are selfish and we're flawed. When we begin to flow in giftings, what naturally will happen in many of our lives, it's happened to me before, is that we think that we are something special. Right? I'll never forget, I was at Southwestern Assemblies of God University, and there is a room of us in the sanctuary, thousands of students, and all of a sudden something really cool happened. All of a sudden students start speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues all over the sanctuary. It was so cool. Man, it was this awesome moment that we're just like hearing these messages. It's like, man, this is right on for our school, for what we're going through, for students that were in there. And then all of a sudden, a guy right next to me starts speaking, and you could instantly tell this guy was just ticked off. He starts speaking in tongues, and he is mad about it. And then he interprets the tongue that he just spoke, and he is condemning everyone in that room. He's telling them they're all going to hell, all these things. And the speaker gets up there, and he goes, that last one was not of God. And like all of us look at him, we're like, you know, like, and you could tell this was not of God. This was someone that was mad and judgmental, trying to tell everyone how bad they were, you know? And I can't tell you the amount of people that I've known that have been hurt from spiritual giftings more than they've been helped. Someone comes up to them to pray for healing, and they beat them down more than they help them, you know? If you just had more faith, you'd get up. I've heard that. If you just did this or you just did that, you would be healed. That's not love. No, it's not love. I can't tell you the amount of times that I've been prayed over from people, and you're more freaked out than you are at peace. God wants us to be at peace. God wants us to understand his love for us. He wants us to understand that he cares about us. And if every one of us in here, if we are asking at that moment, okay, God, what does this person need? And how do I do this in the right form? How do I do this in love? Then you're going to see some amazing things happen in your life. You're going to see God use you to change people's lives all over the place. So how do we do this? How do we know what love is? How do we know the correct form? Well, it's found in verse 4, and Paul talks about this. He says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Verse 8, but love never fails. And he goes on to say all these things about how prophecy and knowledge and tongues, all these things, they're going to go away when Jesus returns and we go to heaven. But at the very bottom, in verse 13, it says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Is love. Is love. Amen? If we come up and we begin to pray for people and we're asking God, God, what is it that you want me to speak? Or you're sitting there during worship and you feel like God has a word for you to share. What I always do is I begin to ask God, okay, one, is this me? Is this me just wanting to share something? Or is this God? Number two is, okay, God, can I do this in love? Is what I'm saying in love? And if is what I'm doing, is this going to draw someone closer to Jesus or further away from Jesus? Now, we don't always know that answer, right? But we could make a pretty good assumption. Is this something that is going to help someone? I guarantee you, you pray for someone to be healed and they're healed, it's going to be edifying. Someone needs a word and you begin to speak that over them, that's going to be pretty edifying. I'll never forget, I was at youth camp one time and there was this couple that was at the front and they're praying and all of a sudden God just told me they can't have kids, go pray for them. And I went up to them, I said, look, this is an awkward question, but I just feel like God is speaking this to me. I said, are you guys having a hard time having kids? And they just said, yes, that's what we're praying for right now. And I just got, and that was after we had had a hard time having kids, and we had had Joshua, and I just began to pray over them that they would have kids, that next year when they came to youth camp, that they'd have children. It was this awesome moment. But it's because I was saying, okay, God, what is it that these people need? I could tell they needed something, so I just asked, and he gave me something that I could speak into their life. It's amazing when we know how to do it in the right form, what can happen. It's amazing when we begin to ask God, what is it, God, that you want me to speak into someone's life? What gifting do you have for me today? You can begin to change people's lives. I'll never forget a moment. It was one of my life-changing moments. I was meeting with a group of pastors in Farmington, New Mexico. These are pastors I did not know. They didn't know me, but we were all meeting together in a place called Zebediah's Restaurant. In Farmington, that is a great place to go. They have the best chicken strips on the face of the planet, and I will argue with someone if they say otherwise. Okay, it's so good. I don't know how they battered them. They're probably just lard, and I don't know. It's phenomenal. So I'm eating chicken strips, and there's a guy sitting across from me. His name is George Balderman, and we're just talking about life. What he didn't know at the time is that Brittany and I had had a miscarriage. And then we had tried to have a child again, and we had just had another miscarriage. And I was hurting, Brittany was hurting, and we had had a guy come to our church named Daniel Bashta, and he writes this song that is Let Hope In, is the name of the song. He also wrote a song you guys all know, and that's God's Not Dead. And so he wrote those songs, he came to our church, he played them. Well, this was after our second miscarriage, and we just latched onto this song called Let hope in. We'd listen to it all the time, constantly reminding ourselves, like, it's going to be okay. You know, everything's going to be all right. God loves us, and he's not keeping us from having children. He wants us to have children. He's healing our bodies. Whatever is wrong, it's going to be okay. And it was in that moment that we were having a really hard time that George looks at me, and all of a sudden he just says, Austin, something's going on with your life right now. And God wants me to give you something, and it's going to mean something. And he hands me this, he takes his bracelet off, and he hands it to me, and the words on the bracelet say, let hope in. And he says, you know what that means? And I just began to weep, cry, like a baby, like chicken strip hanging out of my mouth, crying at Zebediah's restaurant. Like, I'm just snotting. All these pastors are kind of looking at me. They're like, something's going on over here. They're just talking about, and I'm just like, I'm weeping, man. And this guy just begins to read my mail. Like, this is what you're going through right now. This is what God's speaking over you. You guys are going to have kids. You guys, all this stuff. And I'm just like, whoa. It blew me away that someone was willing to be that in tune with the Spirit of God that would speak to me in a way that would change my life forever. And then we went on and had our first child, Joshua, and now have two little boys, Joshua and Judah. And my life was changed in that moment. And I believe that God wants to do the same thing with you, with me, every one of us. Guys, if you're sitting there and you go, no, not me, then what you're doing is you're letting fear dictate what you can do for Christ. Ultimately, fear is selfishness. It's putting ourselves in the place of God and telling God what he can or cannot do in us. Fear says, God, not me. I can't, but my past, but my present, but the things that are going on. But what if I do it wrong? What if I say something wrong? And God's up in heaven going, are you going to let me do it? Or are you going to let yourself do it? Because you remember from the beginning, Paul says, hey, it's a gift that the Holy Spirit gives. It's not a gift that we have to conjure up. It's not something you feel like you have to come up with a word of knowledge. You have to come up with a prophetic word. Sometimes it happens when you don't even expect it. I've told this story before. Maybe you've heard this. I was on stage at youth one time in Farmington. I'm just speaking, and I just said, if anyone in here is dealing with depression, I command that to leave in the name of Jesus. A student comes up to me 7 months later and tells me, hey, that night you prayed that, depression left my body, and I have not had it since. Sometimes what we need to do is just begin to say, God, who do you want me to be? What do you want me to say? What can I do for you, Lord? Because it's so important for us as the body of Christ to function in these giftings. The third and final thing today, and I'm going to go through this one quick, is this. Focus on the whole body. Now, when I was in high school and I worked out, all we cared about was biceps and chest. You know what I'm talking about? Like, all you do every day is buys, tries, and chest. And you're just like, man, I'm getting swollen. Your legs are like this big, you know? Like, you see these guys walking around the gym, and they're like this, and you're like, dude, your legs look like a baby deer, okay? Like, get some mass down here, okay? And what you find out is if you work your whole body out, you actually get bigger everywhere than if you just work one part of your body. Because especially in guys, testosterone flows and it has to pump all that into your body. It has to, and so you get bigger. And not only do you need to do every part of your body, you need to focus even on the little muscles. Right? There's certain workouts that you do and you think like, what is this doing? And then you're done with it and there's that little muscle like back here and you're like, oh, you know, like I just worked this little muscle and all of a sudden, man, I feel this huge result. And that's the way it is. A lot of people get hurt in the gym because they're working out all the big muscles, but they forget the little muscles that make a huge difference, right? Well, here's the deal. It's the same way with the body of Christ. Every one of you has a part and place so that you can be used to grow the body. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says this. In chapter 12, verse 12, it says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. In verse 14, it says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And I'm not going to read all of this, but we're going to just get a gist. It says in verse 15, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't want to belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would our sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Some of you are an ear, some of you are an eye, some of you are a big toe that holds us all up, right? If you didn't have a big toe, you'd fall over, okay? If you didn't have a pinky, you couldn't grab soap. Shoot out, smack someone in the eye, okay? Here's the deal. Obviously, Paul's making a point. He goes, you're all part of a body, okay? You all function. And the problem with the Church of America, and I don't know about churches everywhere else, but the Church of America, is we're so focused on the eyeballs and on the mouthpiece, and we're so focused on the things that we think are so important, but we're not focused on the fact that some of you guys can be hands and feet that we could never be. You can go out into the workplace and you can begin to change people's lives. Some of you guys have the gift of prophecy and could begin to speak into people's lives. Some of you guys, and I believe all of us can function, all those giftings, but some of you guys need to understand, like, you are the body, just as much as I am, just as much as Pastor is, just as much as Sonia is, you are part of the body of Christ. You're part of the body of Grace Chapel. All of us have a gift. If you go, not me, then that's fear. If you go, no, I don't know if I could really speak something to someone. I don't even know where to start or how to do that. Come ask us. We'd love to talk to you about how that works. I can't get into all that today. But here's the deal, guys. Ask, and God's going to begin to do something. Sometimes the most amazing words that I've got to speak over someone's life was I felt that God had a word for them, and I didn't know what it was. I opened my mouth and started speaking, and it began to change their life. I'll never forget one student, Donnie Walker, was sitting down, and he's just praying, and I knew God had a word for him. And I just began to open my mouth and speak. Like, I did not know what I was going to say, okay? Literally, as I'm speaking, words are coming out that I don't know what I'm saying. That's when you really know it's spirit. Like, I'm just saying words. And all of a sudden, I just start speaking. I'm like, you are this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And talking to him about how his function and his family, and he just starts weeping. He's like, you are so right on. How are you doing this? I'm like, it's not me, man. I'm talking. I'm just opening my mouth, and God's putting it there. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say, God, I believe what your word says? I tell my students this all the time. Either we believe it or we don't believe it. Either we believe it or we don't believe it. If you believe it this morning, start asking, and God's going to start using you to build the body of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for today. I thank you, God, that each and every one of us, that we have a part to play in this amazing thing called the body of Christ. Jesus, you are our head. You lead us. But God, each one of us, we have a specific part to play in the kingdom of God. And I pray that we are playing that part. God, that we aren't sitting by with fear and doubt, but instead we will stand with boldness, knowing, God, that you want to use us in a special way to show people your love for them. God, I thank you that we get to do that. We get to be a part of something so great and so awesome. Lord, I pray for people in here who need healing. People who need those words of knowledge or prophetic words. The people who need faith and all those different giftings that you give us. I just pray that right now they would be sensing, God, the things you want to do in them. They would be sensing the words that you have for them or for other people in this place. Or maybe family members that they have. People at their workplace. That they would know, God, that you want to use them to do something miraculous in the lives of other people. God, we know that you are a God of the natural, but you're also a God of the supernatural. So we just pray that supernatural things would take place because we are willing to see them take place. In your mighty name, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Love you all. Pastor and I will be up here for prayer if anyone needs prayer. But go and begin to ask God what you can do this week. Amen.